May the Lord help us to commence our service this morning with hymn 674. 674. Hail sinners, vaunt of power, a ruined soul to save, and count the fulsome store of worth they seem to have, and by such visionary props build up and bolster sandy hopes. Hymn 674.
Our reading this morning from the Holy Word of God is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. And I'd like us to read together the third chapter of the Acts of the Apostles and the first 13 verses of the fourth chapter. The Acts of the Apostles, commencing to read at the beginning of the third chapter and reading to the end of the 13th verse in the fourth chapter. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed. The Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your fathers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And to you first God. Having raised up his Son, Jesus sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, the number of them was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marvelled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And we'll leave the reading of God's holy word there. May he bless it to each of our souls, and may he help each of us to call upon his great and holy name in prayer. Great and almighty Lord God, what privileged people we are to be found once again in these thine earthly courts, that Lord, through thy mercy, thou hast lengthened out our days, that thou hast enabled us, granted us the desire, granted us the health and strength to be found once again in these thine earthly courts. We thank thee, Lord, for thy many, many mercies, that thou, Lord, hast not dealt with us according to our sins. Thou hast not rewarded us, Lord, as we deserve. What a merciful and gracious God we've got. An almighty God, an omnipotent God, a prayer-hearing God, a prayer-answering God. Lord, we come this Lord's Day pleading a precious Christ, pleading the Saviour of sinners, Lord. Perhaps some have turned in this day feeling to be like that one that's recorded in thy word, the chiefest of sinners. This is not, Lord, even in the first line of the hymn of which we sung, sinners, Lord. What a mercy to know we are sinners in thy sight. What a mercy to be taught by the Holy Spirit our lost and ruined condition in and of ourselves. And we come, Lord, in our wretched, loathsome condition. We come in all our vileness. We come in all our filthiness. We come by faith. We come to a precious Christ, the Saviour of sinners. We come, Lord, pleading him alone. We've got nothing of ourselves to plead, no good act, work or deed to plead, Lord. Nothing in and of ourselves, but that we have received. Lord, what makes us to differ? Lord, thou knowest this sinner on the journey here, travelling, Lord, and the roads, and we saw many out and about in their cars. We saw many cycling and groups of cyclists, Lord. We saw those, Lord, running, and Lord, that thought came. That thought, what maketh thee to differ? But, what a wonderful but, the blood. The precious blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, Lord.
That's what we plead, that mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We plead, Lord, him and him alone, Lord, that he may be seen instead of us when we approach to thee, Lord, for we cannot in and of ourselves approach unto thee, Lord. That would consume us in a moment. We're hell deserving sinners. We've broken all thy 10 commands, Lord. We come so short, at least I do, Lord. What makes us to differ is thy mercy, Lord, thy grace, thy love to hell deserving sinners. Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that thou art a God of love. Thy word declares it. God is love, a consuming fire out of Christ. But thou, Lord, art a God of love to thine elect people, to those that were chosen before the foundation of the world, those, Lord, that are hid in Christ, those, Lord, that know their need of a Saviour, Lord. And what a mercy it is that thy Holy Spirit leads thy people to a precious Christ. The Lord is our schoolmaster to teach us our insufficiency, to teach our sinfulness, to teach our carnality, to teach our wretchedness. And yet, Lord, thou dost not leave thy people there. What a mercy that is, that, Lord, thou dost lead thy people to that one in whom all the fullness dwelleth, that man that shall be the peace, may be the peace to each of thy people here. We bear them each before thee, Lord. Those, Lord, that might be burdened by their sins, Lord, well, Lord, may they hasten to thee, Lord. May we each hasten to thee, Lord, and prove, Lord, that thou to bear our sins, that thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for us, reveal, Lord, a precious Christ to each of our souls, the Saviour of sinners. Be with those, Lord, that might be cast down. Thou knowest, Lord, the casting down of thy people. May, Lord, they be favoured, Lord, to cast all their burdens, cares, and concerns upon thee, Lord, and prove that thou carest them. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. We think of the Lord, the many burdens of thy people. Lord, we know some of the burdens here, but not many, Lord. But they're all known to thee. What a mercy that is. Thou knowest all about thy people. Thou knowest all their state and condition. Thou knowest, Lord, their troubles, their anxieties, their cares, their concerns. Thou knowest all about them, Lord. What a mercy that is. Thou knowest all things. Thou art omnipotent, thou art omniscient, and thou art in control. What a mercy that is to thy people, Lord. Not a shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. Be, Lord, with those that have got particular trials, particular difficulties, Lord. Those things, Lord, that are too heavy for them. Those things, Lord, that are too difficult for them, Lord. Those, Lord, that need thee, Lord. And may they prove, that, Lord, that thou art their helper. That thou, Lord, art their in and all and in all. That thou, Lord, art their support, their strength, their high tower, their refuge. That thou, Lord, would uphold, strengthen and support. Be, Lord, with each, Lord, in the various pathways of life. The many trials, the many difficulties, the many troubles, Lord. And we shouldn't be surprised when trouble comes, because thy word declares that through much tribulation you must enter the kingdom of God. But Lord, what a mercy it is, what a great mercy it is to know that when trials come, that when difficulties come, to know where to go to. What a mercy it is, Lord, that we have the privilege of prayer. We thank thee, Lord, that, well, perhaps at those times when we're most cast down, perhaps at those times when we're on our luck, when we feel to be on our own, Lord. Perhaps in those times, Lord, when we feel to be cast off and cast away, oh Lord, thou art there. Even at the ends of the earth, thou art there. For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now will I arise, saith the Lord, I will set him in safety from him that puffeth at him. Lord, hear the cries of thy people. For those, Lord, that are oppressed, for those, Lord, that feel the weight of circumstances, the anxieties of the pathway, Lord, may they cast their burden upon thee. Lord, thou would uphold, that thou would strengthen, that thou would support. Underneath, Lord, are those everlasting arms. Lord, we were even talking about it before the service, Lord, and yet, Lord, what a mercy that is, Lord. Doesn't matter how far we have to drop, they're still there. And may, Lord, each of thy people prove it, Lord. And as we go through this waste, howling wilderness, may we prove that one that sticketh closer than a brother, Lord, that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, Lord, that almighty God. May we prove, Lord, his upholding, his strengthening, his supporting, Lord. And as we wander through this wilderness, may we found leaning upon our beloved. Lord, and if we're to lean upon thee, then thou must be close. We can't lean upon thee if thou are afar. Lord, draw nigh unto thy people. Uphold them, Lord, and in this wilderness journey, Lord, that thou would be with them. Be with our friend, Lord, who takes the desk in his pathway, Lord, uphold him, strengthen and support him, Lord, and the family. Those, Lord, that may be at home and listening, Lord, grant thy presence. We pray, Lord, for them, that thou would uphold them in this pathway, Lord, that thou might prove the goodness of God. And even in these things, Lord, thy word declares, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Lord, may we know. May we be given faith to believe it, Lord. Lord, may be many trials, difficulties and anxieties, but may they prove. And may each of us prove the goodness of God. God is good. Thy word declares it, Lord, and thou art a good God. May each of us, Lord, and may they be given that grace that they need. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. May they prove that, Lord. They might feel to be weak, might feel to be cast down, but they may prove that thy grace is sufficient. Be with them, Lord, and be with one and with the affliction, Lord. And we think of also our friend Jabez Rutt and the situation down there, Lord. And oh, Lord, be with them. Uphold, strengthen and support, Lord, and grant thy gracious presence. And upholding, Lord, uphold. Do, Lord, be with each, we pray. Be with others, Lord, that have got other anxieties, cares and concerns. Be with those that are afflicted. Many are the afflictions of thy people, Lord, and yet, Lord, thy word declares thou dost deliver them out of them all, Lord. We know, Lord, that thou might not be healing in the body, Lord, but thou wilt deliver thy people to be with thee, which is far better, Lord, to be with thee, Lord. That text, all things work together for good. We know, Lord, it may not be our earthly good, through much tribulation, but, Lord, to be with thee, to be with thee, Lord. Be with each, Lord, and be with those that have got afflictions. Grant the means used upon them might be blessed by thee, we pray. We thank thee for doctors and nurses, what they can do, Lord, but do bless the means, Lord. We think of again a friend at Fen Stanton, Lord, and the operation that he's just had. To be with him, Lord, as he's laid aside from his labours. And Lord, be with each of those that are afflicted. And Lord, and grant them thy gracious presence. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, that those that look on might be helped, might be supported, might be strengthened. And, Lord, and we think of those that look on from the world. We think of those, Lord, that fear thee not, perhaps doctors and nurses and others, Lord. Lord, may thy people set forth that right and proper example. As we've even read it, Lord, let's make knowledge of them and know that they've been with Jesus. Do, Lord, be with each and uphold. That's what we desire, Lord. Thy gracious presence, that one that sticketh closer than a brother. Be with those that are elderly, those that feel the mud wall, cottage shade, the grasshopper a burden. Grant them health and strength sufficient for each day. Do, Lord, be with them, we pray. Grant their latter end might be better than their beginning. We pray for those that mourn, those that have lost loved ones. Grant them thy gracious presence, Lord, and do make up in their loss. Do, Lord, grant thy presence, even in the lonely hours. Draw nigh, we pray. Be with the young and rising generation, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that at this cause of truth there are so many children. We thank thee, Lord, that there is that generation to follow on, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would be with the young and rising generation, that thou would keep them as the apple of thine eye, that would grant unto them the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, that would grant wise counsel and good judgment unto parents, that they might train up the children in the way that they should go, that it might bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that they might form right and proper friendships with those that they come into contact with. We pray, Lord, that they might be granted long life and health. But, Lord, we desire greater things than that. We desire, Lord, that the children and the grandchildren, yea, Lord, we'd not exclude the parents either, but, Lord, we pray that they might prove to be amongst thy people, that they might prove, Lord, that thou art their God, that, Lord, they might be numbered amongst those that are thine. Keep them, Lord, close to thy word. Keep them close to thy people. And keep them close to thee, Lord. Do, Lord, keep them, Lord, in these difficult and troublous times in which we live. So many things they come into contact with, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that thou would grant to them that fear, that they might know, Lord, that thine eyes are ever upon them. So they might say, so did not I, because of the fear of the Lord. Do, Lord, grant, Lord, thy presence, we pray. Lord, do be with our denomination. Grant better days, we beseech of thee, Lord. We think of the small cause of truth, Lord. We're only a handful, Lord. In some cases, less than a handful. Ones or twos. We pray, Lord, that our denomination might see better days. That thy elect might be made manifest. And again, our thoughts go, Lord, to those that we saw even this morning out, Lord, and journeying, Lord, we don't know where they were going, but thou knowest, Lord. We pray, Lord, that this Lord's day, if it's thy will, that thou'd stop some in their mad career. Those, Lord, that are hurtling on the broad path to destruction, that, Lord, thou would stop them. None are beyond thy reach, Lord. We trust that we're living witnesses of it. Thine arm is not shortened that it cannot save. Even in these days in which we live, pluck those brands from the burning, Lord. While there is yet time, make haste. Death is upon the road, Lord. Grant, Lord, that the eyes of the blind might be opened, the ears of the deaf might be unstopped, and a godly gracious increase, Lord, work mightily, Lord, we beseech of thee. Build up Zion, build up the causes of truth, grant that better days might be seen, Lord. We think of the virus, we thank thee, Lord, that things are returning in a measure back to normality in some ways. And yet, Lord, how solemn. How sad. We think, Lord, of the situation in this our nation. Lord, we know we must first begin in our own hearts, Lord. We know, Lord, we should first start with ourselves. We should search our heart, Lord, and beseech you that thou would search. What have we learned by these things, Lord? We trust there have been learned a few things. And yet, Lord, teach us. Thou dost teach thy people to profit, Lord. But we do think of this our nation. We think, Lord, of the way things are returning to the things the way they were before. We think of the many things that are opening, the many events that are opening, Lord, the many things that are happening on thy day, Lord, and the sow returning to their mire, the dog returning to the vomit. Oh, Lord, stem the tide of iniquity in this our nation. Lord, this virus, that's thy wrath. It's thy wrath poured out upon the nations of the world. That, Lord, thou would use it to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory. There might be a turning unto thee, Lord. That there might be recognition that there's a God in heaven, one that will not wink at sin. Grant, Lord, that there might be, in even those in authority over us, our prime minister and our leaders, that there might be an opening of their eyes, an opening of their ears, Lord. How we long to hear them talking of a God in heaven. How we long to hear them talking of thy mercies, Lord. We often hear them talking of scientists. We often hear them talking of what the scientists have done. But no mention of thee, Lord. We thank thee for what scientists can do. But Lord, bless the means. We look to thee, Lord. But in wrath, remember mercy. Do, Lord, hear us and hear the sighs and cries of thy poor remnant regarding the abominations that are done in the land. We think of our denomination again, the many troubles, Lord. We need thee to arise with that healing in thy wings, Lord, individually and collectively. Grant wise counsel and good judgment to those that are on our committees, that they might do that which is right in thy sight, not in the sight of man. They might do that, Lord, guided and directed aright by thee. Grant true repentance where needed, and grant there might be a turning unto thee, Lord, we pray. Do, Lord, be with thee, those that are in office here. Grant wise counsel and good judgment in all their dealings, Lord, as we approach again to that time, Lord, when we make engagements for the coming year, Lord, and how we say, how we write, if the Lord will, or the will of the Lord be done, And Lord, that is something we have learnt in the last year, Lord. If nothing else, Lord, that it's thy will. This sinner, Lord, engaged to be here last year, Lord, and yet unable to preach here, to the chapel being shut due to the virus. And yet, Lord, we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast enabled us to gather around thy word in this house, this day. Do, Lord, be with each of thy servants this day. Uphold them, strengthen, support them, Lord. Grant liberty in the gospel. Grant the signs following the preaching of the word. We pray for any of thy servants, again, our friend at Friend Stand, and others, Lord, that were unable to preach. Grant thy gracious presence, we pray, where they are. And do, Lord, draw nigh. But do, Lord, be with thy servants. Lord, they've got a poor man in the pulpit once again, a stammerer. Open my mouth wide, Lord, and I will fill it, Lord. That's what we desire, Lord, that thou would fill my mouth. Lord, I don't know what to say, Lord. Thou knowest what I've meditated upon, Lord, but, Lord, I need direction. I need thy guidance. I need thee, Lord. Lord, help me. Help me to preach a few things to thy praise, thine honour and thy glory, and help others to listen. And may there be a flowing together in all things. Lord, I can only set forth those things I've handled, tasted and felt of the good word of God. And may I do so, Lord, faith. May I, Lord, and may each of thy servants prove to be ambassadors for Christ, Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. Lord, we thank thee for those, or one that's been sent out recently, be with him. We don't know where he's preaching this day, Lord, but thou knowest. If he is preaching, Lord, and be with his family. Lord, we sow the seed, but we need thee to grant the increase. Grant, Lord, that what's spoken in weakness may take that deep root down with each of us, not only those that hear, those that preach, Lord, we need the word. As much as any, Lord, more than most, Lord, for we feel to be so unworthy. Grant, Lord, that the word spoken might prove to be of thee. Unloose my tongue. Grant the hearing ear and the understanding heart. Forgive all our sins, all our transgressions. Wash us in that precious sin-atoning blood. Make us acceptable in thy sight. We pray, grant to us that true repentance and sorrow after sin, Lord. That repentance that need not to be repented of. And do accept of a heart the gratitude for every mercy in providence and in grace. As we'd ask it all. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 965. Tell us, O our best beloved, where thou feedst thy tender flock, where they rest at noon discover. Shelter us beneath that rock. Let no idle air divide us from thee, Lord, in whom we live. By thy loving counsel guide us, and our souls at last receive. Hymn 965.
greatly needing to feel help of the Holy Spirit, I'll attempt to speak a few things this morning to the Lord's praise, honour and glory from the verse that you can find in the portion of God's holy word that we read together this morning. And the text for this morning is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under the name, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. From the 10th verse it reads this: Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under the name. There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Until a couple of hours ago, this wasn't the text that was laid upon my mind for us to meditate upon together this morning. When I got out of bed, it's the word of God. These words seemed to arrest my attention, and I haven't been able to get away from them. Trust that this text is one that the Lord's granted unto me to bring before you this morning. It's a wonderful text. It's a text about Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The servants of the Lord, Peter and John, in that portion that we read together, had worked a great miracle. The Lord, through them, had worked a great miracle. There was that man that was lame, that one that was lame from his mother's womb, who was laid daily at the gate of the temple. And then Peter and John passed by, and one of the divine appointments, the Lord had decreed that his servants would pass by at that time when he was laid there. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, look on us. And he did. And what did they say? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He gave them, or gave him, something far more precious than silver and gold that perisheth. The name of Jesus. A wonderful name, isn't it? Neither is there salvation in any other. Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world for sinners. Came into this world to suffer, bleed and die for sinners. Rose again the third day for their justification. This man, who the Pharisees said, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The love of God, the love of God to his people, the love of God to those who know they need a saviour. This man received strength. Immediately his bones received strength, and he leaping stood up and walked. And then he went into the temple. And what did he do? Walked into the temple now, leaping and praising God. And all the people praised God. Wonderful, the love of God to hell-deserving sinners.
our Lord of life and glory, himself, when he walked this sin-cursed earth, went about doing nothing but good, raising those from the dead, healing many that were sick. Many were brought unto him with divers diseases, many diseases, diverse diseases, and he healed them all. My thought goes to the man that was sick of the palsy. He couldn't even walk to the Lord in and of himself, and how those four bore him before God. And how the Lord said to him, be of good cheer, be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. He got healing in body, but he got something far greater. Healing body is a wonderful thing. There are many things, as I mentioned in prayer, that scientists can do. Many wonderful things that were unthought of many, many years ago. But we look to the Lord. The Lord uses means. When the Lord walked this sin-cursed earth, there were many that were brought unto him, and he healed them, made them whole. There was that one with the issue of blood. Those many, many years, she spent all that she had in physicians of no value, but it got worse. And then she touched the hem of his garment and was made completely whole. Completely whole. It's wonderful, isn't it? Healed of the disease, yes, but completely whole. Not just the sickness, not just the illness, and I don't minimise that at all in any way. Don't get me wrong. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He came not to call the righteous to repent, no, but sinners. This man was made whole through that name, that almighty name, the only name given under heaven to poor, hell-deserving sinners, a name that you and I can plead. A name that you and I have to plead. It's a very solemn portion of God's word, this. It's a very wonderful portion as well. The text, or the portion that we read, is just after the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost, wonderful things were wrought, the Holy Spirit worked. And that number that were turned unto the Lord, 3,000, they continued in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Wonderful things were, but what preaching, what honest, God-fearing, God-exalting preaching was preached unto them? The Lord's servant did not, well, set before them, didn't they, that they'd killed the Lord. They'd put him to death. Read the first few chapters of the Acts and you can see the number of times that is actually set before the people, that our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, was actually killed. He was murdered. He was put to death. Some of these, on the day of Pentecost, were made amongst those that were looked upon a precious Christ on the cross. Perhaps they're amongst those that cried out, crucify him. Crucify him. But him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. In the portion that we read, Acts 3 verse 15, it says this. I'll read from the 14th. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. The Lord of life and glory, Jesus Christ, that name, the name that has salvation for his people. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Our God incomprehensibly made man, contracted to a span. He came into this world, as I said, to suffer, bleed, and die for sinners. He was really put to death. In union with his divine union, he took up what he likened to our own sin accepted. He suffered agonies beyond our understanding, beyond mine. What he endured, that contradiction of sinners against who came in, and his own received him not, didn't he? Didn't they? Despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This man went about doing nothing but good, as I mentioned. Healed the sick, raised some from the death. Wonderful God. What did Pilate say? I've seen nothing wrong in this man. He never did anything wrong. Absolutely impossible. He's God. Co-equal, co-eternal with the Father. Part of the Trinity in unity. An almighty God, the Son of God, walked this sin-cursed earth for 33 odd years. And how that must have pained this earth that was cursed because of sin. This earth that he had created. Man that was made in their image, in his image. And how he walked this sin-cursed earth doing nothing but good. And I said, he came unto his own and his own received him not. He was a man of grief, a man of sorrows. What agonies he endured for sinners. Neither is there salvation in any other. Is it your salvation? What an absolute mercy if you know you need saving. What an absolute mercy if you know your lost and ruined condition in and of yourself. As you stand or as you sit before the thrice holy God. Our God, my God, your God, the God that we've come this day professedly to worship, is a thrice holy God. He's a perfect God. He cannot look upon a single sin in a single sinner with any degree of allowance. Read God's holy word. You can read of his wrath poured out upon sinners. Look at the time of Noah. Man did evil. Did that which was right in their own sight, didn't they? Lord sent that rain. And those of you that are at school, you'll be taught many things at school. I'm a school teacher. Many things that have to be taught that are on the specifications and the syllabus. And they'll decry. They'll say that evolution happens. It's an absolute lie. It does not happen. I speak that as a scientist. There are many gaps in the fossil knowledge. Many things that when you hear people say this earth's been in existence for millions of years, can't prove it. Can't prove it at all. There are many gaps in the knowledge. Many fossil records that don't exist. And I'm always amazed personally it's a bit of a tangential issue here, but I'll still keep going as the Lord may lead me. Sometimes when you see these tiny little bits of bone that they dig up and how they then make it into this great big animal, I think it's imagination, isn't it? Well, the Lord really did flood this world. Think of the number that died because of sin. And yet there's mercy there as well, isn't there? Because there was the ark provided, God's provision. How Noah built the ark according to the instructions of God. And how they were shut in. And how eight souls, but it's only eight souls that were saved. It's very solemn, isn't it? I know it's an absolute mercy that any was saved. Eight. So there are many things that are taught that are wrong. That are contrary to God. May the children be granted the fear of the Lord. May they keep faithful. I remember I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but I was in a year 11 lesson. It was a bottom set year 11, and they didn't want to be at school, and they'd already finished, I think, in their own minds. And I must admit, I didn't really want to teach them either, but it was my responsibility and job, and I had to teach them about crude oil. It's part of the chemistry specification. I'm a chemistry teacher. And on crude oil, the textbooks say that the crude oil was produced over millions of years due to pressure and temperature and so on from the shells of sea creatures that have fallen down and sedimentary rocks on top of them. And I had to teach it and said, Well, some scientists believe that this happened, and but they can't prove it, and I tried to put that. And there was a young man who put his hand up and said, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe? And I had to offer up a little bit of prayer to the Lord. Pray that the Lord would help me. I prayed that the Lord would grant me wisdom in what to say, that I wouldn't deny him. And I said, no, I don't believe that. I said, some scientists do. Well, I don't believe it. No, I believe the earth. You know, it's a much shorter duration of time. And we moved on in the lesson. And I thank the Lord that he'd granted me. And you might think, what a trivial thing. Well, you try and say it in front of 30, 16-year-old boys that didn't want to be there. It was a mountain to me. But the mountain, the Lord made the mountain flow down at his presence. And how at the end of the lesson, you know, they all went out, and this boy came up to me at the end, and he looked at me and said, neither do I. And I thought, well, I don't know what his religion was like. That's not for me to judge. I judge no man. I cannot judge any man. I can't. And I thought, well, we must be kept faithful. We must say what's right. Others, it's in, even in what we read, take knowledge of us and know that we've been with Jesus. Don't deny him. Keep faithful. He will honour those that honour him. Neither is there salvation in any other. So salvation is a wonderful thing. Salvation is of the Lord. There is salvation in none other. He is able to save, even unto the uttermost. Do you believe it? Even the chiefest of sinners. What did Paul say? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Even the chiefest of sinners. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As I said, it's a great mercy to know your lost and ruined condition. It's what the old servants of God, of course, it's called the law work. Now, the Lord's a sovereign in how deep the law work is. Some go much deeper than others. You can read in the Holy Word of God how some are led along quietly or carefully. But some are dragged over the coals. Some feel their sinnership so much. Some are brought so down. Now all the Lord's people will walk the same pathway in one measure or another. Because only those who call upon Jesus in faith, only those who know their need of a precious Christ, were found in this text. Those that need him. Those that know that without him there is absolutely no hope. Because neither is there salvation in any other. I was thinking, while meditating, well, I didn't meditate upon this word, but I was meditating upon another portion of God's holy word, and I was thinking about some of those individuals that are recorded in God's holy word who have found salvation. I've mentioned one already, Paul. Paul, who called himself the chiefest of sinners. What a mercy if you or I have felt to be like the chiefest of sinners. What a mercy if you and I have felt to be like a 500 pence debtor. And I know in that portion of God's word, it talks about the 500 pence and the 50 pence debtor. And he frankly forgave them both though. What a mercy if you and I come before this thrice holy God, knowing what we are, as I keep saying. It's a great mercy. Think about the many thousands and millions who don't know they're sinners. They don't need a precious Christ. To him, he is not precious. By grace you are saved. Through faith. That not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All those who are brought to cry out, what must I do to be saved? Like the Philippian jailer. All those that cry out are taught their need of saving. Otherwise they wouldn't cry out, would they? Those that went to Jesus with all their various illnesses. Because he was the physician. You don't go to a doctor unless you're ill, do you? None go to Jesus None call upon him until they know they need saving. So thank God if the Lord has revealed to you that you need saving. Thank the Lord if it's revealed to you that the only way of salvation is Jesus Christ. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father. So I've mentioned Paul, that one that called himself a blasphemer, a persecutor. He was injurious. And I'm sure you all know the history of Paul, how he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, had those letters to hail the Lord's people to Jerusalem, and how he was stopped. Stopped on the Damascus road, that light shined about around him greater than the noonday sun. And the Lord appeared unto him. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Well, that's pricks of conscience. Has your conscience been pricked? Thank God you've got a conscience in the first place, but has it been pricked? I've mentioned already that in the preaching, they were preaching that the Lord of life and glory was killed. I've mentioned of those that put him to death, those cruel hands, those wicked hands. But what about you and I? What about you and I? Has it been made personal to you that you did it? That I did it? That my sins have done it? That your sins have done it? Yes, it's true, cruel man nailed the Lord of life and glory to a cross. All those agonies that he endured. But sinner, you and I have done it. Sinner, you have done the deed. You have made the Saviour bleed. What a mercy if you know that personally. What a mercy if you know that the Lord of life and glory, that one in whose name there is salvation, there is only salvation in him. He suffered, bled, and died for his people. For his elect people. And it's their name that they have to plead. No other name under heaven in the whole earth given among men. How men? Some men try to find other ways to get to heaven or their version of heaven. But there is no other way. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of grace. Grace, the love of God, the favour of God to hell deserving sinners, shown in his mercy, shown in his love, in the provision of a saviour. The love of God to hell deserving sinners, the love of the Father in the Son coming. The love of the Father in choosing a number that no man can number. I've mentioned Paul. What about some of the other individuals from God's holy? What about Manasseh? Manasseh. Manasseh, there is mentioned in three places in the Word of God. In the second book of Chronicles, chapter 33, it deals with Manasseh's sins and it goes a bit further. It shows how the Lord worked with him. The Lord brought upon Manasseh that affliction. And then he changed. He must be born again. Paul was stopped on the Damascus road. Manasseh was stopped through affliction. How he then was brought to know the Lord. He knew that the Lord was God. The second time that Manasseh's read about is in the second book of Kings. I think it's the 21st chapter or thereabout. And if you read the record in the book of the Kings, it talks about his sin. How he made his son walk through the fire, child sacrifice. How he shed much blood, much innocent blood. And if the word of God had just stopped at the end of the Kings, then it would be a very sad story. You'd read about Manasseh. Now, I can't imagine if you and I read that section, you'd think, well, he's not like one of the Lord's people. In the Kings, it just deals with what he did. And then he died. Isn't it wonderful, though, that in this second book of Chronicles, it talks about the Lord working in Manasseh. How he was brought to know the Lord. None are beyond his reach. Who would have thought if you'd have read in the book of the Kings that Manasseh was amongst the Lord's people? And he is, he's in heaven. We can read about him in Matthew chapter 1, verse 10, where he's mentioned in the genealogy, Sorry, the first chapter of Matthew is mentioned the genealogy of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. None are beyond his reach. No, not even the chiefest a sinner. Not even five abandoned pences. Think of Moses, murdered a man. Think of Jacob, deceiver, supplanter. Think of Mary Magdalene, seven devils. None are beyond his reach. All his people are taught their need of a saviour. All of them are led to that state and condition where they have to cry out to this living God, where they have to approach unto them. What does the Lord say? Those that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast off. Isn't that wonderful? Those that cometh unto him will in no wise cast off. Those that come in faith, those that come pleading, those that know their lost and ruined condition, those that know that there is no salvation in any other. There are many who try to find, as I said, another way up into heaven. There are many who think that the Lord of life and glory is necessary but not essential. There are many who believe that they'll do whatever they can, that they get better, progressive sanctification, so they get better, and then the Lord Jesus can do the rest. Well, that's not the religion I know. And I pray that it's the right religion, is that there is salvation in no other, absolutely no other than Jesus Christ. I've got no good act, work or deed to plead. I trust you haven't. Don't get me wrong. Good works are good. We should, of course, do good works. But they're not evidence of salvation. They're the fruits of it. Neither is there salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It's all of grace. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And one more example of this is the dying thief on the cross. The dying thief. They, in the word of God, they reviled upon Jesus Christ. It says they both cast the same in his teeth. One was saved and one wasn't. It says in Matthew's gospel. And saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Save thyself. Come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and elders said, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Save thyself, come down from the cross. Now our Lord of life and glory could have come down from the cross. He could have called those many legions of angels. He could have destroyed man off the face of this earth. He'd have been just in doing so. Those that cruelly mocked him. Those that smote him. Those that spat upon him. Those that made those furrows long in his back. Those that plucked the hairs from his face. Those that nailed him to the cross. He could have come down in a moment and condemned, wiped them off the face of this earth and the whole of mankind. But no. In fulfillment of his Father's will, in love to his people, he stayed on the cross. I don't know if I've mentioned it before. It wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. It was love to his people. Love to the elect people. Love to those who he's suffering, bled and died for. What a mercy that he didn't come down from the cross. Because there'd be no hope for you and I. Nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to make allowance or to try and wipe out one of our sins. There are deep, deep dye upon us. Often spoken of like leprosy, isn't it? And in those days when our Lord of life and glory walked this sin-cursed earth, there was no known cure for leprosy. Apart from the Lord touching those lepers. The love of God. But he didn't come down from the cross. He stayed at the cross for his people. He saved his people through that finished work, what he suffered for his people. As I've mentioned already, his name, Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. It's the dying thieves, one saved and one not. Again, another example of the grace of God, the love of God. The dying thief that was saved had to be saved. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. One of the hymns that came to mind when I was thinking about it is the 527th hymn. The fourth verse, I'd just like to quote it, and it says this: the vilest sinner, if you felt to be a vile sinner, in and of ourselves we are in the sight of our thrice holy God. The vilest sinner out of hell, who lives to feel his need, is welcome to a throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the ungodly. And that's the name, Jesus, that you and I have to plead. It's through his name that this man, the man we've already talked about, the man that was lame, was made whole. Through him and him alone. What underpins this text is the love of God. The Lord knew that sin would come into this world. Nothing takes our Lord by surprise. There's no such thing as surprise without everything. He knows everything. Knows your circumstances. Knows my circumstances. He knows all your sins. He knows all my sins. What a mercy that is, that he knows. The Lord on occasions has brought back to my memory sins that I committed many, many years ago. I trust all my sins are laid on a precious Christ. But there are times when he's brought back to my remembrance sins that I'd forgotten. Sins that have passed me by. There was one evening a few months ago when I woke up very early in the morning. And the Lord brought to my remembrance something that I said I was going to do many, many years before I even was brought amongst the Lord's people. It's when I was a teenager. At the age of 16, I think it was. And I'd forgotten about it. And I said I would do something and I didn't do it. I don't think, to be honest before you, I meant to even do it. It's very solemn, isn't it? And then the Lord brought it to my knowledge and I had to cry out in that evening, Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. Have mercy upon me. And I had to cry out, remember me, Lord. Remember me without the favour thou bearest unto thy people. And visit me with thy salvation. That's what I felt I needed. And I need it applied again. I need to know I'm a great sinner. And I said, what a mercy if you felt to be like the chiefest of sinners. 500 pence debtor, and yet there is salvation. May the Lord grant to you and to me that God-given repentance, that sorrow for sin. May you and I realize what sin is in this thrice holy God's sight. Whosoever shall keep the whole law of God, yet offend in one part, he is guilty of all. But the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And that's what you and I have to plead. Plead before this thrice holy God that he would apply the blood, that we might be found sheltering under the blood, that precious blood that our Lord of life and glory spilled. The Garden of Gethsemane, his sweat dropped, as it were, great drops of blood. The crown of thorns when it's thrust onto his head. The The blood that came forth from his back when he was scourged, those ploughs that made deep the furrows. And of course, then the sword that pierced his side forthwith came with that blood and water. What a mercy if you and I value the blood. What a mercy if you and I desire that the blood would be applied to our hard heart. There's nothing else that can break a heart. Nothing else that can break a hard heart. You and I have got those hearts that's deceitful and desperately wicked. We have. What a mercy to know it, though. But the Lord and his people creates in them a new heart, a clean heart, and a heart from sin set free, a heart to worship him. Well, let's come personal now. You search yourself. Ask the Lord to search you as well, that he might search you. Do you know this precious Christ? Is he precious to you? He will be if the Holy Spirit's revealed to you your need of him. If you don't know, you're a sinner. Well, pray the Lord that the Holy Spirit would work to show you what you are in his sight. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Not one. We're all sinners in God's sight. My wife had a great failure to be brought up amongst the Lord's people, to attend a place of court, a place of truth for all of her life, kept by the power of God. And how she quotes her former pastor, and he used to say, it's a sin to steal a pin, even a pin, something so small and insignificant. Well, you think about your sins. Think about sins that you've committed, sins of omission, things that you should have done that you've not done, sins and sins of commission, the sins that you've done that you know you shouldn't do. It's a great long list, isn't it? A massive long list. But can you write at the bottom, as Luther, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin? We hide sins from each other, don't we? I do, anyway. I don't tell my family about what I was like before I was brought amongst the Lord's people. I'm ashamed of it. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows all your sin and all my sin. That's a great mercy. It's a great care and anxiety, as I said. But it's a great mercy because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Not a single sin remaining to the Lord's people. They're blotted out as a thick cloud. They were laid on a precious Christ. Well, let me turn it personal again. Do you know you're a sinner? Have you prayed to the Lord to reveal to you what a sinner you are? And if you haven't, then do so while there is yet time. Death is upon the road. Who knows when you might be taken from time into eternity, then it'll be too late. Many shall call upon his name at that time, and the door be shut. May you and I pour out our hearts before him. May the Lord teach us. May the Holy Spirit teach us our need of a saviour. May the Lord then not lead us there, because that would be despair, wouldn't it? Absolute despair if we just taught there was no hope. But may we, the Lord, grant it to us, that hope, that good hope through grace, that the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, this name that we have to plead, the Saviour of sinners, suffer, bled and died for us. May the Lord assure us of it. I need it constantly reassured to me. Perhaps I haven't got so much faith as others. Perhaps at times I feel I've got very little faith. But I know it's a mercy to have any faith. Sometimes I feel faith to be at a very low ebb. Sometimes I feel oppressed. And then, I have to turn to the Lord, his gracious, precious promises. Thou hast said, those that cometh unto thee, they will in no wise cast. Well, don't cast me off, Lord. Don't cast me away. Lord, many troubles. What troubles you? Many troubles in this time. Well, take them to the Lord. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. What about your greatest trouble, though? What should be your greatest trouble? It's your standing before God. It's your sins. But don't let him go. Don't let him go till he blesses you. Blesses you with that assurance that you're amongst his number, that you're graven on the palms of his hands, that he suffered, bled, and died for you. Yes, even the vilest sinner. I've mentioned some already. Manasseh. I've mentioned poor. Jacob, have I loved? Esau, have I hated? Even you might feel I'm too black to go to the Lord. He won't want to receive me, the vilest sinner out of hell. What a mercy is this man receiveth sinners, those that cometh unto him and not cast away. May you and I come by faith, pleading his name, pleading his precious, exceeding great and precious promises. Turn them into prayers. May he assure you, may he assure me that we're saved. Saved with an everlasting salvation. His love is for the whole of eternity upon his elect people. May you and I be numbered amongst them. That's my desire. Amongst, for those that my family, I've got some of my own family that fear not the Lord. One I particularly think of, and how very solemn, we gave her a Bible. It's not been opened. Went down to see her and I prayed. She knows I preach, but that's all. Went and saw her and she said a while ago she didn't believe in God. Very solemn, isn't it? The fool has said there is no God. May the Lord open the eyes of those that, and the ears of those who don't know this good God, the gracious God. Yes, he's a consuming fire out of Christ. And he is. Read of the number of cases in the word of God where fire consumed. It was Dathan, Korah, and Abiram. How they had that revolt against, but then the fire was sent to burn up 250 of the others. They were swallowed down to the earth, of course. Our God is a consuming fire. It is. Out of Christ. He could do nothing but devour. And that's you and I. That's what we've earned. You and I have earned an eternal salvation, eternal death in hell. But what a mercy to cry out to this God, to the living God, have mercy upon me, save me. Save me, Lord. Save me from the many trials and tribulations in this world. Save me, Lord, from rocks and shells. Chiefly, Lord, save me from myself. Save me from my sins. Save me, Lord, from that I've earned. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, may you and I cry out to this living God, this thrice holy God. May we cry out and plead the name of Jesus, that mediator between God and men, that mediator that now is now in heaven, that intercessor who is now at the right hand of God making intercession for us. He knows the feeling of our infirmities. He knows how weary, tired, but he knows all things. But we plead to him and we call out to him. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none under the name, under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school will be on Zoom this afternoon. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Timothy Barker. Richard Field is expected to preach at 7 o'clock on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, again, Mr. Richard Field will preach as normal. And collections next Lord's Day will be for the Christian Institute. Let us close with hymn 925. Peace by his cross as Jesus made, the church's everlasting head. O'er hell and sin has victory won, and with a shout to glory gone. Hymn 925.
great and almighty Lord God, forgive anything this poor sinner said amiss in our attempts to worship thee this morning. Lord, lay us low. We can't come low enough that thou may be lifted up high enough. We must increase, Lord, and we must decrease, Lord. If any are careless about their sins, Lord, open their eyes that they might know their lost and ruined condition. May they cry out, Lord, save me. Lord, save us, we perish. And grant, Lord, thy gracious, gracious presence. Assure each of us that we're graven on the palms of thy hands. Forgive anything I've said amiss. Make up in the things, Lord, that I've failed to say, Lord, and come so short in the things of God. But do follow with thy blessing anything that's been in accordance with thy mind and with thy will. And help few of us, Lord, to gather round thy table in remembrance of thee. Keep us safe from harm in the interval, Lord, and help us this afternoon and this evening, as we'd ask it all, for Jesus Christ's sake, and now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.